Hello, everyone. We are your hosts, Susan and Jill. We are longtime educators who are here to share with you all things education. We want to inspire you, help you innovate, dream new visions, and best of all, make you laugh. The education field is not an easy one, but we do it because we love kids and we want the very best for them. Join us as we laugh, learn, and get schooled with Kale Education and Company.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another episode with Kale Education and Company's Get Schooled. We were supposed to have three of us here today, and our friend Susan just bailed. So I don't know if you want to get an empty shot of her, Blake. That's where Susan's supposed to be, but she had a hair appointment, folks. So she's not going to be with us, but we do have Miss Chelsea Jackson with us today. Yes. And I'm going to get into your background and let you tell us all about you.
Okay.
But before you do, we always like to start with a funny story.
Uh-huh.
And so I had asked you to think about one. And I see the smile. Every educator has a funny
We have
story.
A whole list like a of whole them. List. Yes.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep. So tell us one today.
Well, I was thinking about this and, you know, on... when you apply to be a principal,
yes.
there is a little thing that says other duties as assigned.
It's such a joke.
It is. It is. And you don't really realize what those other duties are going to be.
We have had these discussions.
And I really think I just need to have that change to animal control. I've had quite a few animal encounters and my school is nestled back at the back of a drive and there's woods all around, but maybe one of the memorable times with animal control is during our pirate pup play day.
Okay.
We have a bounce house set up and water games and all sorts of fun things. And in the middle of this, a dad who's volunteering comes up to me and he says, "Don't worry, I've got the snakes under control." And my eyes were kind of like, what snakes? And he shows me in his hand, he has a little baby ringneck snake that he has found, that kids have located and he has found. And he said, there's a whole nest of them.
Oh no.
And they love, it was a hot, nice May day. The water was out. And so these little snakes came out to join our play day.
Nope.
And, I just said, okay. And I know this dad, he went to high school with my husband, so he was like, "I've got it under control." And I was like, "Thank you." And every so often I see him and he has his hand and I can tell he's got something in it. And he just walks by the tall grass and he just
flips it over
his shoulder. And so I think there were probably 20 little baby snakes. And we were just hoping and praying that the mother snake is somewhere else. And so I, called our facilities guy and was just like, "What in the heck, Josh? We've got a field full of snakes."
Oh,
but
gosh.
No one was harmed.
Sure.
Maybe a few snakes were, but,
they found a new home.
They were rehomed.
They were rehomed.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. So that was a pretty memorable day. So now we lovingly refer to that grassy field as the snake field. This year I made sure that we cut the grass extra short and I sent a few, custodian out,
do a little look
to make sure. And we did not have the amount of snakes that we had.
I mean, the things that a principal has to think about in a day.
Yeah.
Is insane.
It is. Yep.
And you just made me remember, I had forgotten, I have a snake story. It was when I was principal at a smaller school and a little boy brought a snake in his backpack.
Oh.
And they knew that I was not going to deal with the snake. And so one of our teachers who was very nature oriented.
There's always one.
There's usually one.
There's always
my
one.
My idea of nature is sitting with a glass of wine on a patio.
Sure.
Looking at nature.
Yes.
No more than that. And so Miss Sharon was like, "I've got it. It's a baby copperhead." And I was like,
oh my goodness.
Mm-hmm. No.
Yep.
And so she retrieved it and took it out. And I thought, oh my gosh, We are not, this was not.
It wasn't ever, there was no class on it.
I don't even think this is what they meant as additional duties assigned. But
sometimes,
sure enough,
you're up to bat and you have to figure it out.
What are you going to do?
So luckily this dad bailed me out and I didn't have to catch any snakes that day.
On that day. See, look, you knew what to say.
Yes.
it may happen in the future.
But
you'll be prepared.
I'll be prepared.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Okay. Well, thank you for sharing.
Yes, of course.
We never know. You know, the stories are just, they're endless and unbelievable.
Uh-huh.
I mean, most of them people would just never believe.
Never believe. But, yeah.
Sure enough.
What'd you do today at school? Yeah. Well,
mm-hmm. Turns out.
Yep.
Always something.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So give us your background.
Okay.
Your educational journey to where you are right now.
Yeah. So this is, I was doing some math in my head. This is my 17th year that I'm getting ready to start in education. We were just talking about the back to school. Yes.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. That's exciting. A little over. I
mean, let's take it.
Right? So I was a classroom teacher for 11 years. I taught third grade and first grade. And I loved being a classroom teacher. And then this will be my sixth year. I've been an assistant principal. And this will be the start of my third year. And my current role is principal of a primary building, preschool through second grade. Yes.
I did a primary through second grade building as well. It's fantastic.
It is.
It is like
every day you're smiling. Yes. I mean, the kids love you.
It's the best.
Yeah. It really is.
I agree. I enjoyed all my principaling jobs, but that was a good one.
Uh-huh.
It was a good one.
Yep.
And you just kind of get to live in the early years. All the kids are happy. It's just the teachers are happy because those kinds of teachers that teach the primary grades are just innately like happy, cuddly.
They love kids. Yes.
So it's just a great feel in a building.
Yep.
And I get the privilege of working with you, which I love. Boonville is very special to me. Mm-hmm. I have been helping there for a long time, but I also met my husband there.
Oh.
And so I know. And so I will always have a very special place in my heart.
Yeah. It's a fun town. It's great. Great community. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a great town. And so you guys have been, the work that we've been doing together, I know you're doing lots of things, but, the work that we've been doing together is really around science of reading practices.
Yes.
And they had been doing it several years ago and had, you know, staff turns over, principals turn over, everybody turns over.
COVID happens.
There was COVID. I mean, it's like a little blip on the radar right now. And so you really worked hard to like get all of those practices back in place.
Yes.
So can you give us your journey?
So I hadn't even heard of the science of reading when I was in the classroom.
Yeah.
Another district I was working in, we were working on a curriculum adoption and I called my sister who is in Boonville the assistant superintendent. And I just said, what do we need to be looking for? And she said, you have got to do some research on the science of reading. And so then I just started this deep dive into what is this? How is this different from our current practices? And how, thinking with my teacher hat, just how do we do this in the classroom? How do we go from a balanced literacy approach to a science of reading approach? And so that's really been my focus, is how to help teachers feel confident implementing these, this systematic approach to reading, and what tools do they need, providing resources, and also just approaching that with, you know, grace and recognizing that everyone's at a different point and has different backgrounds, but also wanting to make sure that we're doing this with fidelity and doing what we can so that our kids learn how to read. And I talked to Cynthia in the beginning and I just was like, is this just another pendulum swing, another thing. And then in a few years we'll be back. And, she said, do some research and then tell me what you think. And, once you really dive into the science of reading and you read the research and you learn about it, you're like, this is not just another swing. This is something that we need to commit to. And so when I came to Boonville, they had started that same journey, which was great. And teachers were mostly on board and ready to jump in, but recognized that they had a lot of learning to do. And so as a principal, that was my goal, is to focus our time and our energy on training our teachers and providing the materials that they needed, and helping them do that with fidelity, with consistency, across the board.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause it's a lot.
It's a lot. It is.
And if you don't speak that language, you have to learn all of the acronyms.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
You have to learn how all of them hook together.
Mm-hmm.
You have to learn what they mean.
Yep.
You have to learn how the assessment hooks. I mean, like, it is layer upon layer, layer upon layer, and hard to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I think once you kind of get the concept of it, you do want to just jump in.
Yes.
Wholeheartedly. And then you kind of, as a leader, right, have to kind of like pace them.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Because it's hard. So as you were doing that, if you can think back to year one, like, what were some ways that you kind of paced your building?
Mm-hmm.
Where did you start
to
get them to kind of dig into where they're going?
So we really started with looking at our instructional resources and thinking about what we had and what we were using. And we identified Foundations as a resource that we had, that we had previously used, that we'd gotten away from, but that we had, I had a core group of teachers that were still really rooted in those practices and had had a lot of the previous training. And so that was a great place to start. And then the other great thing was that we were using Dibbles as our assessment. But we had to break away from the DRA. We had to break away from running records, and we had to really spend some time with our data too and digging into that. And so that first year, my goal and my plan was really to just figure out, what did everyone in the building know? What were we using? And then to see how we were implementing that. We did start right away. A top priority for me was our daily intervention time. We were coming off of 2 years of COVID and ups and downs with instruction. And so really just making sure that we knew where our kids were and that we were trying to meet them and give them what they needed to be readers and to be successful.
So what were some of the obstacles that first year?
Well, time is always an obstacle because, you know, I'd go, we'd talk, we'd have a plan, and then something would, sure enough, we went virtual for a week, something always would come up. But it was really being intentional with our grade level meetings. Mm-hmm. We started there with the time that was already carved into their day. Then we started taking some parts of our professional development days and devoting that time and those days to that learning and establishing as a building and talking about as a building what our goals were and establishing some non-negotiables. And so, you know, those are hard conversations to have sometimes. Yeah. And you get questions from teachers, you know, what are we going to do with all the leveled books?
Exactly.
We've spent all this money on this.
Their books.
Yeah. What are we going to do? Yeah. We have this whole thing. And, but really just being open to listening to their questions and honestly relying on you and other experts, to come in and provide that outside perspective.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think it helps.
Yeah. It's not my agenda that I'm pushing.
And you don't have to be the person.
Right.
Who's like, let's do it.
Let's do it this way.
You're just there to support, which is what you should do.
And to remind them, we've had this conversation.
Exactly.
And this is our goal. This is where we're headed.
Yeah. Yeah. So that was year one. So you kind of got Foundations in place. Everybody was retrained a little bit. You've got Dibbles going. Mm-hmm. So you're starting to collect some data. You have a fantastic data system. I don't know. I think I've told you, like, I share this with coaches all the time. I'm sharing it with the Coaching Institute. And like, it's great. And so I'm just going to say, if anyone's looking for a data system, you should contact Chelsea, and her contact will be in here later. But they have figured out a way to get all of the assessment that is needed in one grid. And we use that all the time. We go back and look at last year's. We looked at this year's. Like, you need that longitudinal data.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And so you have found the perfect way. And so when someone has found the perfect way, you don't mess with it.
Right.
Like, you just take it and you do it and you use it. And so when someone asks me, I go, yes, I actually do have one. And so that was year one. So then year two, what was the concentration? This was just this past year.
This past year, okay. Year two. Yes. Yeah. So really this past year, our concentration was on data teams and how do we look at our data? What was happening before is we had the intervention time in place. We had some good interventions, but we weren't matching interventions with kids. Yeah. And so that was really our goal, is to let's understand our assessments on a deeper level a little bit better. And then let's look at our resources and learn about some new resources and match those up. And so that's what you did. You came in and you helped model that for us with our grade level teams. And then it was about being consistent. We don't take days off of intervention. We don't take days off of foundations. And those were some non-negotiables that I established as a leader. And I think that really helped everyone see this is why this is important. And then the data helped us see why it's important.
Yes. And the data can become very cumbersome.
Yes.
Especially when you're going to drill all the way down to that skill level.
Yes.
And that does take a lot of practice. It takes a lot of time and it can feel like a lot.
It can,
you know, and if you're going to do it right, it is going to take some time. I thought they did great this year.
They did.
I did. I was so proud of them. But one of the, I will always remember this question and I'm going to use it in future trainings that I do, because it was a really good insight that they had. And I don't remember which grade level it was for you, but they said, so our kids are continuing to struggle. Like, are we just going to live an intervention forever?
Right.
You know? And that's a hard question to answer. Like, there's multiple layers there.
Yes.
But what I took away from that question was they're ready to really start looking at tier one. So the easy answer is you're always going to have some kids with intervention, right?
Yes.
I mean, there's always going to be kids with need who may not have enough need to qualify for other things,
right?
But they just need some extra support. That's probably never going to go away. I mean, we're always trying to get to the 80-20 kind of rule. And if you are below that, it's tough.
Yes.
But they realized, maybe we need to look at what we're doing in tier one just a little bit more so that we're not doing everything just to do intervention.
Right.
That was so smart.
It was.
And I thought, yes, Chelsea, like, you have them ready to go to year three.
Yeah.
They're so ready.
They are. They're so ready and they're excited because they've started to see the fruits of their labor. And so when you see the results that you're getting with kids, it makes you excited to keep doing the hard work. But yeah, we have focused a lot on our tier one instructions, small group, bringing in UFLY.
That was huge.
You know, we have next year, I just showed it to a group of teachers this morning. We got geodes, decodables.
Oh, you're gonna
and
love
so
that.
We're so excited about that alignment with foundations. And so teachers are ready. We've also taken advantage of money for letters training. And I always say that's the college class.
It is.
That's the class that has helped us understand. Yes. And so teachers doing that really helped them to understand that why and to look at their scope and sequence, to look at foundations and the resources they were using, and to understand why we're matching those resources with these kids and why this is working. So last year we did a lot of that tier one learning, a lot of tier two and tier three learning too. And so this year I think they're just going to take off.
So what's the big plan and goal for this year?
I think my goal is for us to become more confident and independent when looking at our data and what kids need. Because teachers always second guess themselves and they're, you know, they're always reflecting you're right. They know. Yeah. And so just giving them more confidence and reassurance that they're doing the right thing. I am so excited. to look at that longitudinal data and just to see how kids are making progress. What did our first graders last year, this is where they ended. What do they look like as second graders? And to share that and to celebrate that. Our kindergartners last year, we had, I think, 87% of them that were proficient or advanced on their DIBLs by the end of the year. And so I think, and I said, that's our group to watch because this will be the group that will have had it from K all the way through. And so it'll be the group that has, we'll have the data for it. We'll have the action plans for those students who are struggling. But I think it's just more consistent implementation of our resources. You know, there's new things from the state.
Sure. I'm hoping that that won't be too much for them.
I don't think so.
The form is, they're similar. It's longer, of course, but it's asking them the same things that they've had to already look for. So I'm hoping that doesn't feel too overwhelming.
Them. And so we did five kids last year. And so each teacher did five kids. So it'll be interesting to see how that translates. But if they were on a plan last year, that plan will be made
and we'll pick it up and go. And that's the part that gets really exciting, I think, for schools as they implement, because they don't lose time if they're doing it well. So you end the year, but then those kids move on and you'll have new kids that come in and kids that leave. But your core group of kids, that teacher will just pick it up. They already know how to read it. They know what to do. They know the programs. And there's not like this lag time of 6 to 12 weeks when you're trying to learn your kids. It erases that. You get so much time.
I know. And I know we've talked about a date before school even starts. We're going to look at data and we've never done that before.
I know. It's exciting.
So I'm like, that's always what I had thought about as a teacher in my head is like, can't I know and just start where they, and I know we always talk about summer slide, but, you know, we'll still do our assessments and we'll make tweaks and adjustments, but you just update.
You just pick them up and keep on going.
We did, our teachers that were teaching summer school did foundations during summer school. So just some little small minor tweaks like that, that now we know the importance of those things. And so we're more committed to them, even in our 20 days of summer school.
Well, I love it for you because I feel like this is like the year that you can kind of take a breath and just perfect some things. And it's not a bunch of new still thrown at them. That feels good. Feels good for them. Feels good for
you. It does.
Like, I think you'll have a really great year. I'm excited to see.
And you know, in the past we'd live in a spot and then we'd make adjustments and, oh, well, we need to shift this RTI cycle here. We need to have this intervention meeting here. And I'm starting the year with a full plan. And I mean, it might, the dates and everything, and it'll change. It always does. There's always snow days or something that comes up, but I feel pretty confident for the most part that these are the times that we're going to commit to talking about this data. And this is our goal for having these assessments done. This is what this is going to look like for our tier three students who we are still concerned about and have, you know, interventions for and that we're considering for more services. So I feel like we're just ready to take off and teachers are going to love it because they like a plan.
They do
especially
like a plan.
Your primary teachers love a plan. It feels good to have a plan.
And to know that there's nothing coming at them, like waiting to drop.
Right.
You know, I feel like this whole year, especially in our state, we kind of were waiting for things to drop.
We were.
And that's hard when you live, because you're like, you're on a road, you think you're doing great work, you think you're going to be able to still continue to do the great work, but you're not sure. And, you know, like those things make it even harder.
Even harder.
In an already very difficult world. And so when that's hanging over you, it just feels like one more thing. And so I'm hopeful that people will not. Let's get a break from that.
Yeah, I hope so too. We're going to try out, we have new state assessments and all. So that'll be one of our projects this year is looking at our state requirement assessments, the one that we've selected, and comparing that to assessments we've done before. But I think that, I think we're in a good place with that too, because
they're all normed. I mean,
they're all normed. I mean, it's not, we're not throwing a completely new concept at them. They're going to understand what those scores mean.
And I think honestly, probably, it'll mean more to them.
I do too.
So, you know, they are doing it. They are being asked to add one, but I think that they'll see a purpose mm-hmm. for it and at least be able to read it and not mm-hmm. just do it and throw it aside.
Yes.
Which is what happens a lot.
Absolutely.
You
know? Yeah.
Especially if you don't have time to figure out mm-hmm. what it's telling you or mm-hmm. why you're supposed to be doing
yeah.
it.
Yep.
So yeah, that'll be a good little piece of mm-hmm. the puzzle. So if you were trying to help other administrators out there
sure.
that are going through some of these processes mm-hmm. and they're at any level, you know, like mm-hmm. some are just starting this journey because of the new expectations. Some are mm-hmm. a couple of years in. What do you think as having gone through a couple of years mm-hmm. now, what would be your advice to people?
I think one of the things that showed my teachers how committed we were to this was giving them time. And yeah. so I got subs mm-hmm. and I know that that can be hard sometimes, sure. but if I'm prioritizing my budget mm-hmm. subs for a 2-hour block of release mm-hmm. time where teachers can really dig into data, I think that it gave teachers a chance to breathe, a yeah. chance to ask questions, to work on it together. We weren't starting something and then, you know, 30 minutes into it, yeah. they were having to go pick their kids up at specials. So I think that is one piece of advice is to whether you're getting subs or if you have a professional development day, commit the time mm-hmm. to that hard work mm-hmm. because it is hard. And teachers deserve that time. I think that showed them how important it was. It showed them that I respected their time and that automatically created more buy-in right. Along the journey. And then I think the other thing is to let them ask the hard questions.
Yep. Don't be afraid of them.
Don't be afraid of them.
Yep.
And,
I totally agree.
I typically tried to have them ask questions before you would yep. come in or before yep. a meeting, because I didn't want to be caught off guard right. and I knew I didn't have all the answers. Right. And, so I wanted to be able to share them with you and talk through things right. with you. And so I think just give them that space to ask the questions yeah. and try your best to, if you don't have the answer, find someone who does, find a resource who can help,
right.
help your district, on their journey.
Right. I always said I didn't ever care if people were asking hard questions. And, you know, sometimes in a moment of frustration, hard questions can also sound a bit negative sometimes.
Yes. Uh-huh.
And I think as a leader, you just have to be ready for that.
Yes.
Like, they're frustrated. Mm-hmm. So
you're adding one more thing to their plate it's hard.
And they want to know why. And so, but my opinion as a leader was always, if they're asking the questions, they still trust you enough to ask.
Yes.
It's mm-hmm. when they stop asking questions mm-hmm. or they just nod and do their thing.
Yep.
That's when you got to worry.
Absolutely.
Because something ain't right.
Right.
And yep. you're not going to get the results you want. So I never shied away from the hard questions. And I think it's perfectly fine to say, I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't
know. It is.
You know, I mean, when they were asking us questions about like, are we going to live in intervention forever? I don't know. Like, you know, I there are some tweaks we can make. I think these are the exact conversations mm-hmm. you need to be having. Mm-hmm. This is what changes things. Mm-hmm. But are we going to live here forever? I don't know. I mean, that's up to what we do and how we change things and how we respond and uh-huh. how it works. And, mm-hmm. you know, you don't yep. know that answer. And I think that's okay.
Yes.
You know, mm-hmm. just to like show that none of us have all the answers to
right.
anything.
To anything. Right.
We know how it's supposed to work. We know uh-huh. how it's worked in other places. We know how it's working so far. But keep asking me, why the heck are we doing this? Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. because sometimes we do get into a place where we do it because we've always done it. Mm-hmm. And it is okay for someone to push back and go, mm-hmm. why are we doing this? Mm-hmm. You know? And then you stop and think, I don't know why we're doing this.
Like
maybe we don't need to do it.
Right.
You know? Which then opens up another conversation, which then I think creates this climate of we all work together to solve the problems. Mm-hmm. And that's huge.
It is.
Mm-hmm. Because no one can do it by themselves.
No one. Yeah.
And having a good team is more than half the battle, and you have a fantastic team.
Well, thank you.
You do.
Yep.
I adore all of them, and they are all about kids.
They are
all about making it better. And when you have that kind of climate, I think you're unstoppable.
Yeah. I'm excited. Year three is going to be good.
Year three. I always think year three is the best. Year one, you have no idea what you're doing. Year two, you know what you're doing, but you can't do it. Mm-hmm. Year three is like, okay,
let's go. Yep. Let's jump on the ride together.
That's right. Thank you so much.
Yeah. Thank
coming.
You. I appreciate
this was
it.
A lot of fun.
It was.
And we will stay on top of your journey this year.
Okay.
And we'll do another check-in mid-year.
Sounds good.
How it's going.
Sounds great. Thanks, Jill.
All right. Thanks everybody. We'll see you next time.